This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Easing out of restrictions. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Friday, March 27. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Trump administration plans to identify counties by risk, helping local authorities decide whether to tighten or relax social distancing rules.
A record number of people have filed claims for unemployment benefits. Plus, hear how the stimulus bill in Congress will help.
Another charge by the Dow Jones Industrial Average has pushed that index back into bull market territory shortly after entering a bear market.
And does the lack of mandated sick leave in the U.S. make the country more vulnerable to pandemics?
If you look at all of the countries that have been impacted by the coronavirus so far, most of them have pretty strict mandates in place so that people who are told to stay home under quarantine or, you know, self-isolation, compensated by their employers.
Harriet Torrey at the Wall Street Journal on sick leave in the U.S. and elsewhere. In just 6 weeks since the U.S. reported its first case of the new coronavirus in Washington state, the U.S. has surged past China as the country with the most infections in the world at 86,000 and counting. That said, the Trump administration is planning to issue guidelines categorizing counties across the nation as high risk, medium risk, or low risk, aiming to help state and local authorities decide whether to tighten or relax social distancing measures to slow infections. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti.
There is no place in America that will not be overwhelmed in terms of the number of patients who need ICU and other hospital beds and how many we have in this country. There is no place that won't be overwhelmed by needing more ventilators and not having enough.
New York remains the center of the pandemic in the U.S. with its nearly 40,000 infections, accounting for nearly half of all cases here. State officials around the nation, meanwhile, are trying to decrease crowding in places like parks, trails, and other outdoor places. Chicago officials have now closed the city's lakefront trail and beaches. As expected, the number of Americans suddenly applying for unemployment benefits is shocking. A record 3.2 million workers filed for claims for the week that ended last Saturday, a number nearly five times the previous record set in 1982. That's put an abrupt end to our historic decade-long run of job growth, and the number is expected to rise. Mark Hamrick is senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com.
The massive relief legislation approved by the Senate awaiting House approval raises unemployment checks by $600 a week, and that's more than double the current national average. So this financial aid will serve to help displaced workers to do their part to further contain the virus by staying at home.
Pennsylvania, Ohio, and California were among 10 states reporting more than 100,000 claims each, leaving unemployment systems overloaded. Millions of U.S. businesses have announced layoffs or furloughs, as you know, as their cash flows dry up, with Americans unable to do things like visit restaurants or car dealerships. Several state and local authorities have ordered non-essential businesses to close in response to the novel coronavirus pandemic. Stocks took off again as the government came closer to approving a $2 trillion stimulus package to combat the pandemic. Astonishingly, 3 days in a row of gains has pushed the Dow Jones Industrial Average into a bull market, not long after plunging into a bear market, which is a drop of 20% off a recent high. Investors were already looking ahead to the likely passage of the largest fiscal stimulus package in the U.S. in recent memory. The Senate on Wednesday approved the relief plan. The House will vote today. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Right now, we want people to take advantage of all of this quickly. The UI will depend on how the states do it, and they're not all uniform, but we want people to know exactly how they can benefit from that, and we're putting that all together.
By UI, she means unemployment insurance. Back to the markets for just a moment. The Dow Industrials finished yesterday up 1,300 points, or 6.4%. The Dow is still off 21% for the year, despite climbing 21% in the past 3 days, the largest three-day percentage gain since 1931. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
For the ones who forge metal and those with nerves of steel. For the ones who burn the midnight oil and the ones who rise with the sun. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry with over 250 local branches and a team of specialists available 24/7 to help you solve any challenge. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. Special edition coverage of COVID-19 continues. Millions of people who have suddenly lost their jobs as a result of the economic damage brought by the coronavirus will be getting additional unemployment benefits from the federal government. That's part of the new $2 trillion stimulus package. Here's how it will work from Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, walk us through this.
The $2 trillion stimulus package, which the House still needs to vote on and then the president still needs to sign, one element of it is a lot of help for folks who are suddenly out of work. And what it's doing specifically is it will layer on an extra $600 per week up to 4 months for people who file for state unemployment insurance.
So will they get federal unemployment insurance and state, or do you mean the Fed is kicking into that state unemployment fund?
No, both. So let's say I live in New York, and I will file for unemployment. I'll get paid from New York State. I'll also get paid from the federal government as well. Now, bear in mind that there's no uniform fee on what the state will pay out. That varies by the state rules. I'm not an expert in this, but I think it also depends on what you are making. So there's a lot of variables on what the state will pay you, but this federal package is saying we will layer on an extra $600 in addition to that.
And you have the $1,200 checks that some folks would be eligible for.
That's right. You, in addition to this, you will, everyone, there are income conditions, but they're saying every adult who makes under $75,000 or a household filing jointly that makes under $150,000, the individual would get a $1,200 check, that married couple would get a $2,400 check. And then children would be $500 per child under that as well. So this package, for the unemployed worker is giving them $600 in federal unemployment money per week for 4 months. And it's also giving them a chance at this direct check, which technically they're calling in the bill a recovery rebate.
We're speaking with Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. And it was pointed out by some Republican senators that some workers might get more out of this than they are actually paid.
That issue came up Wednesday night on the Senate floor as they were, ahead of the unanimous passage. Senators like Ben Sasse and Tim Scott and Rick, they were in Lindsey Graham, were saying that, hey, when I factor in the $600 and whatever I get might get paid out, I might be paid more to stay unemployed. And they were worried if that would create a disincentive for people to work. On the other side of the aisle, senators like Dick Durbin from Illinois said, chances are no, it's not going to discourage folks from work. These were people who had their jobs, ripped away from them by what's happened with the outbreak. So no one's going to be looking for some easy time off. And besides, he said, and he acknowledged that there may be some folks who may come out a little bit more ahead, but he said basically, so what?
How will the latest unemployment numbers factor in here?
3.28 million jobless claims in the previous week from the 15th to the 21st. To put it in perspective, I think the previous record on a surge in initial claims was back in like the early 80s, and it was something a little bit around the vicinity of like more than 500,000. So this is, on orders of scale, far beyond that. One thing to point out, Gordon, is a lot of states have what's called a waiting week. So if I apply for unemployment today, I have to wait a week until my first payment hits my account. What this program is doing, what the stimulus is doing, is it will eliminate that waiting week. It basically, the feds are stepping in, and they'll pay that money for the waiting week, so that there is no waiting, and folks get that money immediately.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The economy is straining under the weight of the pandemic as employers lay off workers and state officials order non-essential businesses to close. A record 3.28 million workers applied for unemployment benefits last week, far surpassing the previous record of 695,000 set in October 1982. Mark Hamrick of Bankrate.com.
As we strive to flatten the curve of the outbreak as we must, the jobless toll is mushrooming. It's important to remember that each claim represents one person who's out of work. They might be a wage earner for a family.
Number two.
As House Speaker Nancy Pelosi expressed confidence that her chamber will pass a third coronavirus relief bill, she's already focused on writing a fourth phase of aid and suggested that in a future measure, Congress might consider providing more direct payments to Americans. Pelosi says a fourth installment will focus on health care relief.
Number three.
The Trump administration is planning to issue guidelines categorizing counties across the nation as high risk, medium risk, or low risk, aiming to help state and local authorities decide whether to tighten or relax distancing measures designed to help slow infections. Testing for the coronavirus hasn't been uniform across the U.S. or globally, which affects total case counts. Hospitals in hotspots, including New York and Seattle, have passed a tipping point as a relentless surge in cases forces some to move patients to outlying facilities, divert ambulances, and store bodies in a refrigerated truck, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
In New York City, 21,873, a number that would have been unimaginable just a couple of weeks ago. Deaths in New York City, we've now lost 281 of our fellow New Yorkers to this disease.
Fatalities in the U.S. overall have topped 1,170. Well, as companies and individuals try to scrounge up much-needed medical supplies, a cache of medical masks has been discovered in an unusual place, the Washington National Cathedral. A stonemason found 5,000 masks in a crypt after forgetting about the load for more than a decade. The church is donating them to medical institutions that are in desperate need of them. The National Cathedral, where many of the country's leaders have been eulogized or held prayer services, announced the discovery in a tweet that said, "Seek and ye shall find, apparently."
There have been some weird spots where masks have turned up.
I know. Why would a church have 5,000? Scary.
Don't understand either. Thank you, Jen. When inspiration strikes, you should too. But how? What's the first step to bring your idea to life? Because finding the right freelancer for your business idea or project can be daunting. How can you find a quality freelancer you can afford? And how can you be sure they'll deliver? There's one easy answer to all of these questions: Fiverr. With Fiverr, you get more done with less. Fiverr connects you with freelancers who offer hundreds of services, from graphic design and copywriting to web programming, film editing, voiceover, and more. You can search by service, by deadline, by price, or reviews, and you can be confident to find quality talent you can count on at a price that's right for you. No negotiating necessary. Take five and check out Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com. Do it now and save 10% on your first order when you use my code Gordon. Fiverr, the fast, affordable way to bring your inspiration to life. Go to Fiverr.com and use the code Gordon to save 10%. That's Fiverr.com.
Thanks for being with us, especially during this COVID-19 crisis. Many of us are ditching the use of paper money, which can gather germs, and choosing to pay electronically with peer-to-peer mobile payment apps. The apps are free, but can come at a great cost. Jeff Graham, technology columnist at USA Today, has been exploring where our data actually goes. Jeff, what have you uncovered?
We found out that Venmo was sending my information to this data mining company in New York called Braze. And I was pretty stunned because they sent in my address and they sent the name of the person I was sending money to, none of which they really needed to be doing. And nor did they inform you when you use it that they're doing this. So we did a sequel where I tried out every one of the payment apps, the person-to-person payment apps, so we could follow the money. And Venmo was the worst abuser. And Cash App was not much better. They did the same thing as does PayPal. So the three of them are the worst abusers. And the ones who were absolutely 100% clean were the companies you wouldn't expect. Facebook, Google, and you would expect Apple, but it was Facebook, Google, and Apple were totally clean.
Is this disclosed in the fine print?
In the Venmo fine print, it's that they have the authority to share your information with third-party firms. You've never read the privacy policy, so you wouldn't see it. But right. It certainly doesn't say on their website, by the way, when you make a payment, when I send Gordon $10 to split a pizza with him, we are sharing that information with Braze, which is this data firm. We're sharing it with Holler.io, which is a company that offers GIFs. And I forget the name of the other firm, but it's three firms that they're sharing it with that, I mean, it's just ridiculous. They shouldn't be doing that. And so I will never use Venmo again. And I would urge everyone else not to use it again until Jeez. They change their policy. Scream and yell. I've been screaming. I haven't seen any changes happening, and I don't know that they will, but I'm not going to use it.
We're speaking with Jefferson Graham, personal technology columnist at USA Today, also host of a podcast called Talking Tech. So this is all in the name of revenue through selling data?
Selling data. Well, you know, obviously there's no such thing as free, as we know. Venmo is a free app. If I pay you $10, if I pay you back $10, there's no transaction fee unless I click a button for the instant. Let me rephrase that. If you pay me the $10, I have to wait a few days for the money to clear unless I pay 1%. And then I'll get it that same day. That is their only stated revenue opportunity.
It's Jeff Graham, tech columnist at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With home security, there are two ways you can go about protecting your home. There's the traditional way where you wait weeks for a technician to do a messy installation that costs a small fortune. Or there's the other way, SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection, two-time winner of CNET Editor's Choice Award. With SimpliSafe, outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. For the inside, there are entry, motion, and glass break sensors. Plus, you'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice 24/7. I set mine up in less than 30 minutes, and it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. It's why The Verge calls SimpliSafe the best home security system. Go to simplisafe.com/GordonDeal today, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure to go to simplisafe.com/GordonDeal. That's simplisafe.com/GordonDeal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, March 27. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. House expected to vote today on the coronavirus stimulus. Trump administration to help local officials decide if restrictions need to be tightened or can be loosened. Stocks rocket higher for a third straight day. 86,000 U.S. infections is tops in the world. Southwest canceling 1,500 daily flights. Indianapolis 500 delayed until August. World Series could be pushed to November. Pearl Jam and Dua Lipa out with new albums today. And the new coronavirus fashion trend. That story in about 20 minutes. Light touch regulation.
on U.S. employers is widely seen as a cornerstone of U.S. businesses' dynamism. But economists say one trade-off is a risk of wider coronavirus transmission than in countries that provide sick leave to more workers. Global health authorities are advising people, as you know, to stay home if they fall ill. But that is financially challenging for millions of Americans without paid sick leave, who fear losing their paycheck or even their job if they don't go to work. In depth on the issue with Harriet Torrey, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Harriet, set this up.
If you look at all of the countries that have been impacted by the coronavirus so far, most of them have pretty strict mandates in place so that people who are told to stay home under quarantine or, you know, self-isolation, compensated by their employers. That's, well, usually by either by their employers, by their governments, or by sort of the social insurance nets. And such a system is much rarer in the U.S. You know, a lot of companies here do offer paid sick leave, particularly, you know, the higher up the wage scale you go, the more likely you are to have paid sick leave. But for many, many millions of people in the U.S. who are, you know, in service sector jobs or low-wage jobs, they have no access to sick leave whatsoever. And so, you know, talking to economists, you look at the incentives. So let's say that you feel sick or you are in an area where you're encouraged to stay at home. The problem with that is if you stay at home, you're not going to be earning money and you're not going to be able to put food on the table. So it just means that the incentive for people who might be sick or feeling sick to go out and carry on working is much higher. And that is the big fear, is that that could contribute to the virus spreading more widely.
Yeah. You revisited some history with 2009 and 10 with the swine flu H1N1. What happened there? What did we learn?
Yeah, so there was a study by the American Public Health Association that said an estimated 7 million additional people were infected in the U.S. and 1,500 deaths occurred during that H1N1 pandemic because contagious employees didn't stay home from work. And the worry is that that could repeat, you know, during the coronavirus, because people kind of have to choose between receiving a paycheck or, you know, staying at home and trying to get better.
We're speaking with Harriet Torrey, economic reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "With Unmandated Sick Leave, U.S. Economy is More Vulnerable to Pandemics." You said in your story, too, and really it captures so much of what we're involved in right now, even broadly speaking, the conundrum all economies face is balancing the public health interest in mandating sick pay with the potential cost to business and the broader economy. I guess because there are so many countries doing so many different things, there's no one perfect solution to this.
No, of course not. And, you know, if you look at the U.S. economy and the U.S. labor market in the good times, like, the labor market here is extremely dynamic. If you lose your job or if you quit your job in the U.S., you can very quickly find a new job. And that is definitely not the case in a lot of countries where there are much tighter labor laws and labor regulations. You know, in many countries in Europe, it's much harder to fire people, so it takes longer to sort of hire people. It takes longer to find a job. So, you know, in many ways, the U.S. labor market is just different to many other economies. And one of the consequences of that is that without, like, all of these regulations and, you know, on sick pay, on paid leave, on time off, and so on sort of labor rights, it just means that it is a more sort of fluid situation, and that, you know, businesses are not required to, people can be fired at will in the U.S. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, that means that the U.S. economy has a lot of, you know, startups, and there's a lot of dynamism in the U.S. economy. But on the other hand, there are also these risks involved, and that's kind of this trade-off that countries have to figure out when they're setting policy.
How are we trending now in this country when it comes to paid sick leave? Is it more of states requiring companies to do it, or is it more of companies saying we're better off if we do it ourselves? Any way to identify that?
Well, so aside from what's going on with coronavirus at the moment, it's kind of split. So after the swine flu epidemic, some states did start introducing paid leave, and then there are now about half a dozen. And the way that these systems tend to work is that you sort of accrue sick pay. You know, some economists say that these systems work pretty well, you know, and that does help to reduce the spread of infectious diseases without having a huge impact on employment or wages.
Thanks, Harriet. Harriet Torrey, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, remaking My Sharona into a new Corona song. Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Friday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, one of the few positives coming from our self-isolation at the hands of the pandemic is the idea that, via online video, we can show up anywhere and at any time. It was that technology that allowed some USC students to get the surprise of their life while logging onto an online class recently. According to ESPN, two-time NBA MVP Steph Curry dropped into one of the classes, though it's not clear which one. Curry has been staying busy while the NBA season has been suspended, also conducting a Q&A on Instagram Live yesterday with Dr. Anthony Fauci.
That was a good moment for him, a good day all over for Steph Curry.
Yes, yes. He has been very visible, even though not on the court, but very visible pretty much everywhere else, while still staying in his house, which is something we can only do with technology now.
How do you pay attention?
What do you mean?
If you're logged into your classroom by video, say Zoom, and Steph Curry pops on.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing he wasn't just sitting silently in the background, you know, kind of taking notes along with everybody else. It wasn't like they were, you know, it wasn't like there was a lecture going on that everyone needed to pay attention to. I'm guessing he was the focal point of whatever was going on in the class at that time.
True.
But I understand what you're saying. It could be very distracting.
Yeah, if he just dropped in, that could be a number of things. He offered commentary. He was part of the lecture.
Whatever. Yeah, it's not like a big lecture hall where he's sitting in the back, you know, just kind of taking everything in. It's a little bit different, I think. And, you know, it was bound to happen eventually, Gordon. Countless homebound people with lots of time on their hands have been making parody videos of My Sharona, changing it, of course, to My Corona. Now, some members of the Knack have jumped in to create their own version of their 1979 hit, optimistically titled By Corona. Guitarist Burton Avera introduced the new antivirus anthem in a YouTube video, joking that he wanted to record his own version because, apparently, there aren't enough of them. Sadly, the group's singer, Doug Feiger, died 10 years ago, so Avera was forced to get creative. He decided to start by demonstrating how to play the original song's iconic guitar solo. Then, as he wails through the lengthy solo, a ticker filled with coronavirus health and cleanliness tips streams below him. He even pauses briefly to disinfect the fretboard of his guitar. Before long, the group's bass player, Prescott Niles, shows up via video, since the musicians are both wisely self-isolating, to join his bandmate in singing By Corona during the song's chorus. So there you go, taking matters into their own hands.
Wow, they even got like the little whine in the background, like, ooh, my girl. They got that going.
Yeah, well,
that's impressive.
I guess they had the original song track, because again, neither one of them was the lead singer.
Yeah,
so they kind of had the original song track going, and those guys, I guess, were doing the backing vocals on that track, so they were able to sort of pipe in there at the end.
Very clever. Always good to hear a little My Sharona.
Oh, sure. We don't hear enough of it in our lives anymore, 41 years later.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. There are more ways than ever, by the way, to connect to America's First News. You can download the This Morning with Gordon Deal app from the Apple or Google app stores. You can also tell Alexa, Google, or Siri to play This Morning with Gordon Deal. Dealing with an abrupt, damaging financial event like wages lost during the coronavirus restrictions can be overwhelming. If you need to turn to credit cards to get you through, NerdWallet has ideas on how to use them strategically. Number one, preserving cash. If you have limited cash available, you may need it for essential expenses that you can't pay with credit, such as rent or maybe utilities. Using a credit card for other purchases allows you to float those costs so you can make your cash reserves last longer. Number two, buying time, sometimes at 0%. In a crisis, income can fall off a cliff while expenses mount. Well, credit cards can spread out that impact, giving you time to adjust. And to be clear, it's not ideal to carry balances on credit cards if you can avoid it. And number three, reducing the cost of existing debt. To pump the brakes on interest charges, consider a balance transfer and moving debt to a card with 0% APR on balance transfers. With such a card, you'll potentially get a year or longer to pay down this debt interest-free. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Once again, Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The U.S. has overtaken China as the country with the most cases in the world of the novel coronavirus. There are 82,404 confirmed infections across the U.S. President Trump's reaction.
I think it's a tribute to our testing. You know, number one, you don't know what the numbers are in China. China tells you numbers.
Number two.
New York is the center of the pandemic in the U.S. with its 37,802 infections. Governor Andrew Cuomo says a $2 trillion congressional package to help the economy doesn't do enough.
It did not help local governments or state governments, and it did not address the governmental loss. And the federal officials, the ones who are being honest, will admit that.
Number three.
President Trump told governors in a letter that his administration will soon set new distancing guidelines as the pandemic worsens. Trump said new testing abilities would allow his administration to identify high-risk, medium-risk, and low-risk counties. And those new guidelines will assist governors and other officials in deciding on maintaining, increasing, or relaxing social distancing and other mitigation measures they have put in place. House leaders are scrambling to bring back enough legislators to form a quorum to pass a $2 trillion rescue package after a Republican lawmaker suggested he might object to holding the vote using a procedure that avoids putting members on the record. Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky told a local radio station he would vote against the bill and suggested he might object to allowing the bill to pass by voice vote. If Massie forces a roll call vote, the House would need 216 votes to proceed with a vote. Otherwise, voting would be delayed until enough lawmakers could return to Washington. Attorney General William Barr has directed the Bureau of Prisons to increase the use of home confinement among older inmates with underlying conditions as a means to mitigate the spread of virus within the country's prison system. As of yesterday, 10 inmates and 8 staff members tested positive in federal facilities. And perhaps a bit of normalcy from the sports world. The NFL draft will go on as scheduled April 23rd through the 25th. Commissioner Roger Goodell acknowledged there will have to be significant changes and told teams to prepare to conduct the draft outside team facilities and with a limited number of people. Prospects and their families will not be present on site at the draft.
It might not be the same to watch it without those emotions and everything and excitement.
Certainly not, but a live sports event will be tuned into, I'm sure.
No matter what, it's live.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Lunch is turning into a formal affair during self-isolation. Author Curtis Sittenfeld posted a photo of herself reportedly at lunch with her kids, casually wearing her wedding dress and veil. She wrote on Twitter, "Social distancing day 12. Today, my kids wanted me to wear my wedding dress at lunch, and I couldn't think of a reason not to." The photo showed her drinking from an espresso cup. The mom has received more than 240,000 likes and 18,000 retweets. But more than praise, Ms. Sittenfeld has sparked a movement of other self-isolating folks looking to add a little glamour to their daily quarantine routine by posting in their wedding gowns during the lockdown. Even my high school daughter admitted it felt good to do her hair and makeup after spending so much time in sweats the past few days. Fox News says Ms. Sittenfeld isn't the first to pioneer a social media trend during the days of social distancing either. In recent weeks, families have been creating clubs and red carpet walks in their homes. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.